the effort that you've made just to join with us tonight. Not only to worship God, to look at God's word and to look at it a bit deeper tonight as well. If I haven't met you before, my name's LaCoy. I've been asked to come and share with you tonight as the pastors are away. We're on a bit of a journey, actually. On a journey to Sydney. Won't hold that against them as the State of Origin's just been finished. But as they're on their journey to Sydney, it's rather interesting that we're looking at a bit of a journey tonight as well. Tonight we'll be looking at not the journey the pastors are making, but the journey that Jesus is making. Tonight he's actually on his way to Galilee, and he stops in a place called Samaria. And believe it or not, it's not actually the journey that is the big focus here tonight. It's actually when he stops and just has a bit of a break. Could really call it a lunch break that he has. And during that time is the time that God really moves. Don't know if you've ever really considered that you may be on a journey tonight as well. Maybe you're at school and you're on a journey towards the end of term or towards the end of school itself. Maybe you're at uni and you're on a journey to try and finish that degree, or at TAFE trying to finish that certificate or that diploma. Maybe you're already working and you're on that journey just to get that paycheck, doing all those tasks that you need to do that not only meets your employment requirements, but yeah, the reality is to hope to be paid at the end of the fortnight as well. Maybe you're a parent tonight, or a grandparent, and you're on the journey of raising kids or raising grandchildren. I encourage you to think about the fact of what journey you're on as we look at Jesus' journey and how that relates to our life this evening. I encourage you to meet with Jesus tonight on your journey in life. If you have your Bibles there, sorry Beck, this clicker's not working. Thank you. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll just be reading from John chapter 4. It's actually quite a lengthy passage from verse 1 right through to 42. I encourage you to open your Bible if you don't have yours with you. There are some in the pews. But as we get into the talk, we'll be assuming that you have the Bible in front of you, so I'd encourage you to do that. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claimed that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and the worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." The disciples rejoined Jesus. Then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It is still 4 months until the harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many Samaritans believe. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So the Samaritans came to him. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. We have some technical difficulties. Okay. This evening, as we look at this passage, we're just simply going to look at a few questions and see what God's word reveals to us through these questions. And really, they're quite simple. We're just going to look at where the story is set, who are the characters in the story, what happened and why. That section's a bit deeper. And then the application for us today. And we're going to finish off with the conclusion. And tonight, the conclusion actually has a bit of a twist, so stay tuned for a mystery ending. Firstly, we look at the passage and consider where the story is set. Quite simply, it's in a place called Samaria. But why was Jesus there? He was actually on his way from Judea to Galilee, as we'll see in a minute. Samaria is directly on the way. So as he's passing through Samaria, he's just decided to have a bit of a break. And he's decided to sit at the well. Now, this particular well was called Jacob's Well. The significance of this is it just subtly underpins God's sovereignty in this story. So if we look at the passage in Matthew chapter 1, there's actually an outline of Jesus' genealogy. And it shows that from Abraham all the way through to David, and then David all the way through to Jesus, that actually underpins the ancestry for Jesus. And why is that significant that we look at Jacob's Well? Well, Jacob's actually the son of Isaac, and Isaac is the son of Abraham. So as we sit at Jacob's Well, there's like this kind of tongue-in-cheek reference to point towards Jesus being the Messiah in this passage tonight. So as you can see on the map here, pretty simple, Judea's down the bottom. Jesus is on his way up to Galilee. Samaria is smack bang in between. And on his journey, he's a bit weary and he's decided to have a bit of a drink. So he stops at the well and hopes that he can get some water. So it's pretty logical that Jesus finds himself in Samaria. So just that reference before, thus there was 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. So that just ties in where Jacob's Well actually fits into Jesus claiming to be the Messiah tonight. So we're also going to look at who the characters in this story are tonight. There's some significance to that as well. Firstly, there's Jesus, and really, he's the main character of the story. He's on his journey from one place to the other. But the interesting thing about this particular story is he claims to be the Messiah. And what's interesting about that is he's actually claiming to be the Messiah with just one individual woman, who happens to be Samaritan, which isn't like a religious leader of the land. It's not like he's sharing that with a Pharisee in the hope that the word will spread. Rather, quite contrasting to that, she's a sinful woman. So the Samaritan woman is obviously the second main character in this story. What's significant about that is that Jesus is not only talking with a Samaritan, so Jesus being Jewish, that kind of wasn't done, but he's also speaking to a woman. And in those times, that wasn't really done either, especially in a public place. This particular woman wasn't just any woman. Turned out she'd been quite sinful. She's living with a man who's not a husband, I should say, and she's had 5 husbands prior to that as well. So she's clearly divorced. Now, perhaps the reason that she's coming to draw from the well tonight is that she's ashamed of her community around her and to some extent wants to hide from them. Because believe it or not, carrying a water jar from the well back home again is actually quite hard work. So for her to do that in the middle of the day, at noon, kind of suggests that she's trying to avoid other people who, at that time, to be honest, tried to avoid the heat of the day and usually collected water from the well either earlier in the day or later in the day when it was cooler. So there's some significance to her being there at noon as well. What I suggest there's a third character in this story as well. Jesus encourages this woman to have living water. What on earth is he on about this living water? Well, water is actually a reference towards the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is something that's really precious in God's Trinity. And while often we look in church at who Jesus is, there's a chance for us to have a little bit of a look at what the Holy Spirit is tonight as well and who he is and how this living water can have a real presence in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can cleanse us of the sin that's in our lives, can sanctify us, can change us and help us become holy and righteous people. And move on and look at what happened in the story and why. The story is pretty large, so there's a lot of sections, so we're going to skim through this really quite quickly. Firstly, Jesus left Judea to go to Galilee. We saw that on the map. And he stopped in Samaria on his way. And quite logically, being about a 50 or 70 mile walk, he's just tired. He's lethargic from his walk. And he's decided to have a stop and get some water from the well. And his disciples have gone off to get some food. And I imagine as the pastors are on their way to Sydney that they'd probably stop off some food and water as well. Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. As I've mentioned, there's some significance to this. It's not simple that it's just anyone who's come along, but Jesus as a Jew and as Son of God and as a Messiah has chosen to speak with this woman who he knows is sinful, he knows is a Samaritan, and quite obviously he knows is female as well. This was kind of countercultural at the time. So Jesus really wasn't following etiquette, I guess you could say, by doing that. I don't know, maybe a slight comparison might be in Australian society, we're all just used to eating with knives and forks, aren't we? But if you were to travel to a foreign land where they eat slightly differently, you might be a bit shocked to find there's either chopsticks or no cutlery at all that you need to eat with, and you might have to eat with your fingers for a change instead. It was a bit like that. It was a bit of a shock going on here that Jesus decided to speak with this Samaritan woman. It wasn't status quo, it wasn't the etiquette of the day. As he met with this woman, though, he demonstrated that he was a prophet. And this is where the story starts to get deep. It wasn't just, oh yeah, I'm going to have a bit of a drink at the water. As he starts to talk with this woman, and he says to go and get a husband, and she decides to reply with truth that I have no husband, it's at this point where Jesus shares his spiritual gift with this woman and he prophesies to her and he says, that is true. In fact, you've had five husbands and the man that you're with at the moment is not your husband. Now this woman would have been shocked by this. How on earth did you know that about me? We've just met. But Jesus knew because he was a prophet. He knew not only things that had happened in her past, but he also knew of things that were going to come in the future as well. Now Jesus claimed to be the Messiah after this. So as the lady has discovered that all of a sudden this man is not just a man, she starts to ask religious questions and she suggests that this Messiah is going to come in the future. And Jesus responds and says, I am he. I am the Messiah. Well, if you weren't shocked by the other things, this should make you fall off your chair, because Messiah had been prophesied for thousands of years in the Old Testament. And for all of a sudden, Jesus just to go to this woman at the well in quite a casual fashion, well, that's me. She must have been stunned. Jesus shared the fact that he was the Messiah and he prophesied into this woman's life for a specific purpose, though. See, the specific purpose was that he knew that she was a sinful woman and he wanted to offer her this living water. So the symbolism of them being at a well really did have significance to this particular story. Because when Jesus revealed the fact that he was the Messiah, he was witnessing to her. It's a bit like if you've ever witnessed to one of your friends or family members and you say, look, I believe Jesus is the Lord and Saviour of my life. Well, we can only talk about who Jesus is because we're not Jesus. This was Jesus and he's saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord and Saviour. I am the Messiah and I've come to share this living water with you. Now, the living water has real significance here. Firstly, Jesus himself was thirsty and he was asking this woman for a drink himself. And then the whole conversation's kind of turned back around and now he's offering her living water. So in some ways he's kind of submitted himself to her and asked her for a drink. But then as she's discovered who this guy really is, he's now offering her the living water. So the conversation's changed in its dynamic, and it's changed completely all the way around. The reason why Jesus wanted to offer her this living water is firstly, he wanted the Holy Spirit to cleanse her from her sin. So firstly, she's already been on this journey of five other men, and now she's with a guy now. So she's obviously got this thirst that's not being satisfied by the men and the relationships that she's had. So Jesus wants to give her this living water so that she can be satisfied. And not only can she be satisfied, but since she can turn away from these sinful ways, start to honour God with her life, and be purified within. Now, this living water is not just the Holy Spirit that starts to sanctify us in our life and sanctify this woman in her life, but it's also the seal. It's the absolute surety that she had eternal life. So the living water is actually not just a way of washing and cleansing her of her sin. It's actually referred to in Revelation 23 as being something that is eternal. It signifies living water in heaven that we can all look forward to as well. Now this woman believed straight away. She's like, oh man, I've just met the Messiah, this is awesome. Give me this living water and I believe it and I feel it. And she's just left her pot. She's probably travelled, for all I know, 3 or 4 miles to come to this well. And she's just left her pot behind and she's gone off to tell others. It's like, it's just not important anymore. I don't need that water. I'm going to tell others what I have just come across. This Messiah that's been prophesied for thousands of years, I've just met him. Come, meet this guy. And what do you know? God uses this sinful woman to introduce many from the town to know Jesus. And when they came and listened to Jesus, they discovered that he really was the Messiah for themselves. And they believed that Jesus really was their Lord and Saviour. So there was significance to the fact that Jesus prophesied into this woman's life and shared that he was the Messiah. As we consider the application for us today, I really want you to think about your journey. And I wonder whether there's times in your life that you felt dry, that you felt thirsty, that you felt, I just need something. And maybe you've turned to a man or a woman to meet that need, depending on your persuasion. Or maybe as the world continues to want to persuade us all the time to buy this and go and do that and go on this holiday, maybe as you felt dry and thirsty, you've decided to go and get satisfied by buying X, Y, or Z. So maybe material needs has been your source of satisfaction. There's all sorts of ways that we as individuals thirst. And we as individuals have needs that want to be satisfied in one way or another. I want to suggest is that turning to sin is not the way to get that satisfaction. Jesus is suggesting that you actually need to turn from your sin, to repent and believe, and to have this living water cleanse you from within. Well, maybe tonight you're going, well, I believe, but you haven't been baptized. Well, right at the start of the story, Jesus' disciples were baptizing. So this passage has some significance to you tonight, that you should get baptized. It's a public declaration of your sin being washed clean. clean from you. It's a public declaration that you believe that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. It's a public declaration that you don't want to thirst anymore, but that you want that thirst quenched. By living water, by the Holy Spirit that satisfies you. I want to ask you tonight, have you been baptized? If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. I know there's a baptismal service coming up again soon. Right at the start of the story, the reason why Jesus was in Samaria was because the Pharisees were getting annoyed, getting intimidated, if you liked, getting threatened by the fact that Jesus' disciples were actually baptizing more than John. And so, if you like, Jesus was starting to become a leader in the land. And the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders at the time, are getting annoyed by this, and they're going, wow, this is our gig. What's this guy doing? So they were getting angry, and Jesus actually decided to be wise and avoid that anger. So that's why he's on this journey in the first place. Perhaps tonight this story can simply speak to you that maybe there's a family member or a friend or perhaps a teacher at school or at university who's angry with you at the moment. I suggest there might be some wisdom in what Jesus did. That perhaps you might choose to avoid that anger in some way, and I'm not suggesting leave town, but perhaps you can just steer clear of that individual for a while. Or if it is really extreme and there really are some serious implications to it, perhaps there is a place to go to the beach for a while or something like that. Another simple message from this story is that Jesus chose to rest. He's come to this well and he's gone, well, I'm tired. I'm going to have a drink and I'm going to have some food. I'm going to top up my energy levels. Maybe you've been working real hard or you've been traveling real hard. Maybe tonight you just need to know that it's okay to rest. Jesus rested. There's nothing wrong with that. Perhaps it's not just a meal for you. Perhaps you need to recognize the place of the Sabbath and that each week God actually wants us just to rest, to honor him for that day, to know that he is God that day, and simply to recharge the batteries. So maybe tonight you need to be reminded of the importance of the Sabbath. Or maybe tonight you actually need to go, well, it's time for a holiday. I just need to recharge the battery a little bit more intensely. Now, Jesus actually chose to meet with this Samaritan woman. I wonder if the implication of this story, the application for this story today, is to encourage you to meet with others outside of church. Maybe your whole world is just meeting up with Christians and fellowshipping with them and learning together and going together with them. I wonder if it's time to maybe step out of your comfort zone and to meet with people who don't know God. Maybe that's cross-culturally. Maybe that's through something like the children's holiday program that's coming up. Maybe that's inviting someone along to church who doesn't normally come along to church. Who do you meet with? I encourage you to meet with others that are outside of God's family and to consider your place in witnessing to them in the future. Jesus also prophesied in this story. He spoke into this woman's life and he saw her past. God's given all of us gifts. There's all sorts of gifts that we've got. Maybe it's the ability to learn and you've got a gift of knowledge. Have you chosen to use that for God's kingdom? Maybe you're just really good at serving others and you can make food and be hospitable to others. Have you used that to bless God's kingdom? Have you used that to share with God? Use that to share in God's family at church here. Well, maybe it is something that's a little bit more profound. Maybe you do have the spiritual gift of prophecy. Maybe you can speak in tongues. Or maybe God really hears your prayer. Do you share those gifts? Do you use those gifts that God has given you to edify others and to help God's kingdom grow? As Jesus shared tonight in his word that he is the Messiah, I really need to ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus is your Messiah? Is he the Lord and Saviour of your life? So by Lord, I mean the King of your life. He has the right to lead you and guide you and instruct you and command you to do things in your life, and you're willing to accept that and to obey him. Is he your Saviour tonight? Have you come before the cross and have you said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And have you meant it from your heart? Because I can tell you that all of us have sinned and all of us are not right before God. Do you really believe that Jesus is your Messiah? Do you know that he is your Lord and Saviour? You too have the chance to respond to Jesus' teaching tonight and decide whether he is your Saviour or not. Jesus offered living water. If you already believe tonight, I want to ask if you invite the Holy Spirit's presence into your life. Because as we travel on this journey through life, and we've got all of these distractions and all of these things that are in some ways burdens on our shoulders, whether that be work or family responsibilities or people who are sick around us or whatever the case might be. I wonder whether you realise that you actually need to nourish your faith. If you like, you need to water your faith. You need to have God's living water, the Holy Spirit, to nourish your faith so that it comes alive. Maybe tonight you're just feeling dry and you don't really know God's presence anymore. Ask you to refill, and we'll have a bit of a practical illustration for that later as well. As we gather in church tonight, I want to ask the questions, do we worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, this is a bit of a challenge to the congregation, not to individuals. Well, I've been here a few months now, and I know that we are faithful and we are biblical to God's word. Praise God for that. So I know that we are straight down the line as to what God's truth is. And we should really be thankful for that. But perhaps there's some room for us to grow in worshipping in God's Spirit. That's a pretty deep topic. We could go on for quite a while, but I think as a congregation, we really need to be serious about turning away from our sin. We really need to be serious about being righteous in our walk with not only God, but with other people as well. We need to be serious about inviting God into our lives as well. And so quite simply, we can nourish God's presence in our lives by being in relationship with him, by turning to God's word, by praying, by doing acts of service, by fellowshipping and encouraging one another. And we can worship God in spirit and in truth through those things as well. Now, when the woman heard that Jesus was the Messiah and believed and received this living water, she went straight back and she witnessed to other people as well. And people came to faith. She wasn't anyone special. She didn't have a PhD in linguistics and theology. She wasn't even necessarily formally trained in any kind of profession. And yet people believed her just simply from her testimony. Have you been witnessing to others? Come on, why wouldn't you be? God's awesome. Why wouldn't you want other people to come to know God? Why wouldn't you want them to come into eternal life with him? If you've heard the truth, share it with others. It's just that simple. In conclusion, while there's all of these points that the passage is saying to us, and while there's all of these things that could apply to our lives, the fundamental message of this story is that this Samaritan woman simply met with Jesus. And when she met with Jesus, her life was changed, and she went and shared about that with others. I want want to ask you tonight, has your life been changed by Jesus? Have you really met with him? Do you desire to meet with him? And if so, have you been sharing that belief with others so that they can come to know that truth too? Quite simply, this lady came to believe that Jesus was her Messiah. Have you come to know that for your own reality? If not, do that. Talk with one of the pastors, or in the pastor's absence tonight, talk with the elders or myself. More than happy to pray that one through with you. Also, I want to encourage you to consider the need to nourish your faith, to fill your soul with this living water, with the Holy Spirit that God talks about. So as a simple act of worship, I've done a practical illustration to remind you of the need to turn to Jesus for that. We live in a world where everyone's trying to pull us in all different directions to do X, Y, or Z that's greedy or lustful or sinful or proud or whatever. Simply going to invite you to come up to the cross this evening and just grab a bottle of water, just to help remind you that in your journey through life, with all of these responsibilities and difficulties that come our way, is to turn to Jesus and have your soul refilled with God's Holy Spirit, with this living water that's going to help you turn from your sins in your life. So I'm going to invite you to come up and do that now. Just think about your journey and have your thirst quenched. And as I invite you up to grab a drink of water, I'm just going to share a story to contemplate during that time. Consider this story and how it applies to your life. A woman had two large pots, and she trudged to the well each day to get water, with one pot on each end of the pole, which the woman carried across the back of her neck and shoulders. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. By the end of her long walk from the stream to the house, the crack pot arrived only half full, which caused the woman to struggle under the unbalanced weight of the pots. Every day the woman complained about the cracked pot as she filled it, knowing it would not hold all the water she placed in it. She complained about the potter who made it, blaming him for not making it more durable. She complained about her husband, who insisted there was not enough money to replace it. She complained as she trudged back to her house with the unbalanced load, and she emptied the water into the barrel at home. She complained that she did not have more. For 2 full years, this went on daily, with the woman ending up with only 1.5 pots full of water to use at home. One day, the woman wept as she turned from the well to return home, noticing the stream already falling from the cracked pot. As she trudged along the path with her head hung in weariness, she noticed to one side of the path was bursting with colours of budding flowers. The beauty of the flowers was stark against the otherwise parched land. The beauty of the flower... She hadn't noticed the flowers until today, perhaps because she was so focused on complaining about her cracked pot. As she walked the path lined on one side of the flowers, with flowers, she realised the flowers weren't being nourished by the... She realised the flowers were being nourished by the small stream of water running from the cracked pot. That day when she returned home and emptied her half-filled cracked pot, she smiled. Knowing where the remaining water had been along the path and the purpose it had fulfilled as she walked home. Maybe as you fill your lives with living water, you realize and you know that deep down there's brokenness inside you. Don't be ashamed about that. God can use you in your perfectness, and He can use you in your brokenness as well.
Thanks, LaCoy. I might pray for us before we sing our last song. Lord, thanks for the challenge from your word tonight, to come to you and draw from the living water that won't run out. Lord, for living water that satisfies forever. Lord, for the challenge to share that word about you and the salvation that you bring with the people that we come into contact with, and Lord, to draw on your Holy Spirit to strengthen our lives to serve you better. Father, help us to constantly think on you this week, on the water that we have, to turn to you in prayer, to turn to your word, to turn to fellowship with other Christians, and Lord, to be filled each day, Lord, as we walk towards you in the journey for the rest of our lives. Amen. Please stand with us. We'll conclude our service by singing.